that's just...
It. What is it? I'm sorry, I'm trying to do something. What is
the vividness of experience sometimes. I think everybody's experienced that, where it's like, holy shit, this is what Jeff is pointing us toward. Like, this is effing amazing. Like, and then sometimes it's just gone. Like, give me something vivid, please. On a dead, gray, boring day.
Uh-huh. I don't understand.
Quality of experience that is not has a different feeling to her.
Oh,
and she's asking why, I think.
Well, how to get it back.
What really helped me last week, Jeff, or 2 weeks ago, was talking about trying to steer. Ever since then, whenever I'm like, wow, I feel like shit. Oh, wait, I'm trying to steer so hard in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I think the inability to see a gray day is vibrant for me is when I'm trying to steer into some other more vibrant day.
Trying to steer is a good way to put it.
Yeah. I mean, why are you steering away from the person?
This is fine, but I put salt on it, and I didn't know
what it was. So what are you saying?
We interface with this occurring through a presumption or filter of a subtle vector or urgency of self-will. Experience is coming at you like, right, faster than a bear up a tree. And yet we still feel somehow that we can, should be, could benefit from steering this somehow.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. And so when we want to turn, let's say, a gray day into a little taste of vivaciousness, where do we turn to do that? So where do I turn to do that? If I'm turning or tuning myself for the purpose of converting what I think is happening to a thing that I want to happen that's better, then I'm just in the mix of a kind of an I'm throwing an interference pattern in the miracle, in the middle of the miracle.
Yeah.
Right? As an individual that's having a preference, an experiential preference.
Yeah, you're doing cold calls for no reason.
Yeah, you're cold calling. Yeah, you're cold calling a bunch of people with nothing even to sell.
Yeah, you're inventing yourself in the moment, spontaneously.
Yeah.
Giving yourself a job, inventing the phone, and calling people, trying to sell them on the fact that gray days suck and that they need to get another. And you're talking to yourself. And it's just stressing me out to even think about that.
Yeah, it can. That would be a good sign. So the reason it might fail... Let's say I have an inspirational interest to convert what I'm taking as a gray day into a more vivid day. Then most likely it's going to fail because you're occupying yourself as a phantasm. So you're already so deep in the holodeck that...
What's a holodeck?
The holodeck is where you enter into, like in space age movies, like Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
You enter into an environment that's completely imaginary and yet 3D,
sure.
Tactile. Yeah.
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 So this is a holodeck. It's perfectly specific, tangible.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can knock on it and it will make a sound, right?
Yeah, and it's all being invented spontaneously.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
Just as any will whatsoever is also being invented.
Well, we kind of.
I'm having them make you a fresh one.
That's
so,
great.
Okay, I'll bring it right over. Does everybody else have what they do?
Yeah, of course.
Sorry. How is Will?
I think the girls
kind
were
of
trying to help out, so I think maybe some.
Hang on a moment. It's a lovely insight to see or suggest that it's being invented in so-called real time.
I'm sorry. It's
a fun observation to appreciate that what appears to be occurring is being invented in real time as a highly pixelated.
Okay, yeah, even that is an abstraction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I see.
So I should just.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can leave. I can leave.
Yeah. I guess it's important to remember that it's.
But look at the impulse. Look at the impulse for this to become something. As an environment in which you are in, wishing that it feels differently than it's feeling right now.
That knocking is, to me, in an illusory place, knocking is all part of a bullshit thing going on. That knocking itself is happening, and that's it.
Right, yeah, and I love the word bullshit too, but even that... You know, starts
bullshit is bullshit.
Well. It starts to create an adversarial stance.
Sure, okay.
Where there is none, because you're not going to find not bullshit.
I understand.
So if you know,
yeah, bullshit is
nirvana.
Happening. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
So is
any wrestling whatsoever, or steering, or desire, or will, or any of that crap, or creation, or metaphor, or whatever is.
Well, it's a stance.
It's a deterrence.
Not really. It's not a deterrence because there's nothing going on that could possibly deter from.
My math.
You see, again, when we use the word deterrence, it's like, oh, there is a thing.
Yeah, there's a
thing. And somehow I've messed it up. Right?
I understand.
And when you look carefully at it, like converting a gray day into something more vividly delightful... You're living in, you know, a multiplicity of holodeck, thinking that this is something, and that it's something according to the way that you're noticing and feeling it.
That there could be a freckle on it,
including that it's a little more gray than I care for it to be right now.
Yeah.
And then you effuse as a willful vector or a willful endeavor. For your experience to change, to raise the delight factor.
And what's fascinating is what I've realized lately, even lying to myself or inventing things is within this.
So you,
thanks for it.
Thank you so much for the courtesy. You nor anyone, and not that there is anyone, could possibly find anything than what this is doing.
But it's easy to forget that and get into a space where I can somehow manipulate, damage, hurt, or misrepresent this.
Well, that's
I could be stuck in school and be like, man, it's all about school and my status.
Too much pride.
Yeah.
Because you can't really.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah.
You can't be stuck in anything.
Right. There's no need to be stuck in anything.
There's neither a you nor a thing.
Yeah.
That could stick to its not self.
Well, that's cool.
It is cool. Yeah. Yeah. And the reason to emphasize it, even though it's. We don't know what the hell we're emphasizing, right? Mm-hmm. But to emphasize it and call it conversation is that you can see. We'll use the word see. What the hell? How deliciously instantaneous the mirage of your present experience actually is, and the presumption that you find yourself as a subject. On the so-called receiving end of this beautiful experience is really an untenable miracle.
Can we even say that experience is happening?
No. Yes and no.
That's always the answer. Yes and no.
So essentially is thought itself aberrant in some ways in relationship to
aberrant to what? Aberrant to whom? Can I have some of your butter?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's just curious. Any call it frame of reference or position or destination that you may find yourself having confidence in.
Yeah.
for instance, your life, your memory, your preferences, a day that you had a good day, a day that you had a bad day, how you're feeling, how you're feeling and thinking about things right now. The moment you take a position,
yeah,
and anthropomorphize,
yeah,
as a creature,
yeah,
having a position in the midst of an ongoing disappearing act, then you end up in a holodeck or a bardo of your, yeah, you could say of your own making, but that's not true either.
And even the concept of something disappearing is impossible.
It's impossible.
So there, it's not even spontaneously created or disappearing.
No, yeah, that's right.
You don't even know what...
You don't know.
The,
yeah. In, you know, we use deliberately language that turns your attention to the curious geometry or texture of present experience. And you can use the language, let's say, you know, cautiously and as accurately as possible, but the revelation that the language points to is, right, not of the nature of language. It's not the consequence of language.
Right.
Yeah, so we're using the beauty of, you know, call it barking noises, communication tools. This is a communication tool. Nice, right, nice piece of egg, right? For what? For a revelation that's already perfectly present to notice itself.
Notice itself.
And that's back to why we meet
this way.
Even though
there can't be an itself, though.
And it, but it can't not notice itself. It's always yes and no.
At the same
what
time.
Else is it going to do?
No, really, what else is
it
going to do?
It is already, like, not to be a semantic pain in the ass, but...
All semantics
are itself
pain
to
in
notice
ass.
Itself even is...
Well, here, the moment you use a certain kind of language just to lean lightly into the strangeness of your present experience. We don't draw any particular conclusion.
Sure.
Because any conclusion, right?
Is virtual.
Yeah. It's virtual. But if, you could say if we spent our time dismantling every word and every phrase that we used, I mean, that would turn into a kind of bizarre gibberish.
Yeah.
Right? So we use a little bit of poetic license, mm-hmm, just to feel.
Yeah.
But not draw any particular conclusion at the expense of some other conclusion. And then the irrefutability of you is clearly, clearly present. Now the way that we respond to a great song, right, you could say is the same geometry or the same reflex of how you respond to your own thinking.
Yeah.
And what is it that's doing that? I mean, we could use the word attention, awareness, recognition, you know, radiant delight. But it's that quality of attention that... Right? Opens up when it hears a song it likes.
More coffee for anyone?
Yeah. I'll have some more coffee. Yeah, I was explaining. I love regular. Oh, I love this song.
Anyone else need
I'll take whatever you have to.
I have both in my hand. So if you prefer regular, here's regular.
Oh, I'm not worried.
I'll forget that. I'll have some decaf if there's still some.
Thank you.
Harmus, you're welcome.
Decaf for you.
I was explaining to my friend Jay how an acoustic guitar, if I play a B string on my acoustic guitar and you have one 5 feet away, it will vibrate.
Yes.
So essentially, you can't have
water
something
for
that
anybody?
Produces...
All right.
You can't have something that produces the B note unless it also receives it.
I'm curious.
I don't know if that's relevant.
There you are.
Thank you. Could I have a water actually? I don't know if I have. I
think
I have one to start with. I need like a glass.
Can you get one?
A glass?
There's one. No, actually, there's one that's unplanned.
I'm still doing the
old. Never mind.
We're good.
She's already done. No breaker, right?
Well, then we'll throw it somewhere.
No
breaker.
You need to start searching
the
Yeah, so I think what made me realize with the words that is that
moment you become interested in a state change, like gray to vivid.
Sure.
You're already the product of a very profound and playful delusion. And it's that subtle level of delusion. And I don't mean delusion in a bad way, in a regrettable way, in a dismissive way, at all.
When you say interest, though, what if one, even though there is no one, is completely present?
Well,
is my subtle interest in sitting at this table already an abandonment?
Yes, absolutely, it is.
Good point.
That sucks.
But it can go both ways. You could say it's an abandonment of who you took yourself to be, and so you're motivated to be in a conversation that might shift the presumptions and confidences that make you you. Mm-hmm. So that means you've abandoned your old life to discover something else.
Yeah.
That would be a constructive abandonment.
Yeah. Vibrate.
While you're sitting here, or anywhere for that matter, once we become acquainted texturally and loquaciously with the profound nature of radiant consciousness, bestowing subjective nature and objects, then you learn how to bizarrely, let's just say, relax. You can't say in what, because it's already itself.
Bizarrely relaxed.
And it's not a sepulcher, so you're not relaxing in a thing. But the total weirdness of you solicits you.
Wait, what solicits you?
The total weirdness of you solicits you, and you respond to it with a different quality of attention than you ever have in your entire life.
Yeah. The word me immediately just ruined it all for me.
Don't use it.
Yeah.
I would say...
Do you want me to get this out of the way for you?
Please, thank you.
How was everything?
You're very good.
Not so much in the story as watching.
Yeah. It's This is subtle. This is remarkably non-stop subtle and non-stop playful. So any way that you adorn this weirdness through some kind of language is not true.
Yeah.
It can't be.
Yeah.
So story, not story, witnessing, not witnessing, having a gray day, having a vivid day, having cool things to say about it, not having cool things to say about it. Excuse me? What you're looking at, what you can see, is the force of nature that suggests to you that you can create and then occupy your present experience as some kind of frame of reference. And that the things that you say about the way that you feel are somehow meritorious.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, and that all is virtual.
That's all this is.
But this allows us to invent ourselves and have that virtual hologram experience. Even though it's not real.
Yes. I mean, the odd paradox, which is not difficult to live with, is that this is nothing at all, insisting on being something all the time.
Yeah. Or going back and forth. Not that it could go back and forth.
Well, sure. I mean, you can feel it and experience it in a fluctuating manner, right? But even fluctuating would suggest that it was something a moment ago, and now it's something other than that now.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah.
Only virtually.
Yeah.
Right. So what we call ego, or, you know, complaint, right?
Yeah.
Complaint is virtual only.
Yeah.
And yet it, whatever it is, can influence what you call your life through the friendships or lack of friendships.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Depending on how you hang out with other creatures.
It gives. I don't know why that is.
Mm-mm. No, we can't say why
is that?
We can't say why. We can't say why anything is, because the entirety of what we think is human is virtual.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, even saying fluctuation is already bad. That's already totally off.
Well, it's use poetic license at your command rather than being duped by what words presume to suggest.
Yeah, it's hard for me to not be duped by it.
Yes. That's true. I mean, we take pride in being literalists. And we think that words actually refer to something when they don't. They're evocative only. They're vibrationally evocative. They don't actually refer to anything.
But they do help massage.
If depends on how you, right? Depends on how you use them.
I'm feeling like you're talking about the effects of dualism, which is necessary whenever you have language. It's inescapable. So, the massage, the yes, the no, the yes, the no, that's dualism. And it's whenever you try to express something rather than see it, it comes into play.
It's never not in play. It's not like you can possibly do something right.
But it also is not in play.
Or wrong.
It's not actual. Dualism is not actual.
Well, that's what we're playing around with, is what is it, what's possible for you to see, feel, notice, revel in that has to do with the cacophonous nature of your present experience. That's what we're speaking of. But no one can come to any bright, meaningful conclusion. Because nothing is actually true about this.
But But the conclusion that you come to can't be spoken. That's the problem. It doesn't mean that we don't all know it. We all know it. But words put a block.
I don't find all words to be damaging.
Not your words, no.
No, I mean anyone's. No, I mean all of our words.
That can't help but be spin to it from the recipient.
There's a limit.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
That can't help but be a spin to it from the recipient. They're going to, whatever words you say are going to be filtered through this device here.
No, and but sometimes the words,
I do know what you mean.
Me up.
I understand that.
They're
and
not always like that. I'm just...
Sometimes they do.
It's not all that useful to put words on a pedestal and then try to work through them. You know.
No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, no. When we're conclusory, whether that's secularly conclusory or spiritually conclusory, we're full of shit.
Meaning if we think we know that what this is.
Right down to the bone.
But you cannot say that you don't either. I mean, that's my position.
Even the story of, like...
You do know. You must know.
Yeah, but...
You must know what?
I mean, let's...
You must know what this is.
But expressing it is a whole different view.
Yeah, that's
not. It's not ours to know. It's not mine to know.
It's the defining.
As soon as I want
to
know,
she's
going to
turn into Nir Sagadatta. Then watch out. Watch out.
He has coffee.
Everybody.
Oh, weird.
Off with your head.
Even continued struggle, like where it's like, oh, I've been in a struggle for 9 days. That story in my head is just the vibration of I had 9 years. Whatever. I had a friend tell me something yesterday that, oh, I've had this problem for 12 years, and I was like, nah, you just invented it right now. I know that, not to simplify it, but...
You might start losing your friends.
No, he's a good friend.
Or find new ones, I don't know.
He was a good friend.
Why?
Yeah, he was a good friend. Not just teasing. Some people are ready to hear that. And
this is a good friend. You know him.
Yeah.
Sharing people's. I'm just saying it was nice for us to both share that moment of like, no, 12 years of whatever bullshit is just invented.
Yes.
It's not hammered into time. So different. Did you cue all these songs up?
Yeah.
It takes hours. I get up at like 3.
I'm going to say this.
To orchestrate the
start
conversation.
Start cueing songs, yeah. And then I pung, yeah, got the whole thing mapped out. So the whole skill set... the whole skill set is always immediately so. The slightest receipt of experiencing will suggest a subject, that you're a subject. The slightest pinprick of experiencing implies, which is of its nature, a subject that you are experiencing. And this is irrefutable, and you can't do a damn thing about it, except maybe take your own life if you think you want to turn it off forever. And good luck, because no one's quite certain that even if you take your own life, will you have turned this off forever. But, you know, if that's the level of desperation that you may feel, that's an experiment worth making. We'll just never get the results,
yeah.
Right? Unless we call a psychic to tell us, but few psychics actually speak in this way.
Yeah.
Now, that, or this, may I say, level of feeling your present experience has a certain kind of nuance and a certain kind of perfume. and it's a little bit prior to, not that this is chronological, but it's a little bit prior to how one might occupy oneself on a walk, experience what there is to experience, and then have that kind of, reminiscence or interest in, I know this can feel better than the way it's feeling right now, right?
Yeah.
And that's a great confidence, actually. I know this can feel better than the way that it's, I know it, right? But it's not obeying me, right? Yeah. Now, that's great. That's a lovely place, not that it's a place, to be, which is I know this can look and feel better than it's looking and feeling right now, and therefore, what strings might I pull on for it to be more pleasing to me?
And where is that coming from?
I would say, not that it's true, but I would only suggest that it's just a symptom associated with the myth of subjectivity. Whoa. So typically, as an egomaniac, and we have quite a lovely collection at this table. Our tendency is to attempt to negotiate with or manipulate symptoms so that the symptoms, which are objects, appear to us in a way that feels better. Also an object. And we don't... Yeah, it's a good Tetris game.
And Tetris.
And we don't know how to, may I use the word, negotiate with our subjectivity. So we only by habit negotiate with objectivity, with objects. By having a conversation like this one, or a thousand ways that you might dive into this pool and play Marco Polo, as you begin to become conscious of your subjectivity. That means you're not taking the miracle of yourself for granted. And as you become conscious of your subjectivity, then all of the seduction of objects, by its own nature, shifts. And your loyalty and fascination begins to rest in the recognition, the conscious and textural recognition of your subjectivity.
And then there's the Dhammacara or something like that. The first throne. I mean, so subjectivity is only realm number two.
That's what Nirsagadatta was, pointing at.
Yeah. It's the third piece of pizza dough last night.
Yeah, it's the third piece of dough. Yeah. So you see how wonderfully delusional what we call my life is. We're hanging out in a absolute, right, brilliant display of objects. Nonstop. Unpredictable. Wild, crazy. Syncopated songs. Cute, everything's queued up, everything is on cue. The entirety of your experience is showing up on cue, right on time, has no duration, and won't quit. So your mind and your thought and your feeling and your shit and your money and your children and your parents and life and death is all on absolute display. It's like the 4th of July at the pier, nonstop.
It's like the head explodes.
Yeah.
The movie.
Right.
When you're saying, how do you negotiate your subjectivity?
Mm-hmm.
I looked up and read, cock your hat, angle for attitude.
There you go. Good example.
Sorry,
He did it.
Everyone's still doing good?
Yeah.
Drinks and everything? All right.
Yep, very good. Thank you.
That's cool.
It just seemed like... Ooh, yeah. It's like the music. It seemed orange too.
This moment, now this one, now this one, now this one, which you can't even register through thinking.
Yeah.
See how selective, though not willfully selective, your thinking is. How is it that you're picking out what you're picking out as minute as your thinking is in the midst of this?
Yeah.
And you're not choosing willfully what it is that you're going to think or feel or remember or notice or see or be stimulated by, and or how you're going to respond to what it is that you see, think, feel, taste, touch, think, and notice. It's all happening miraculously, spontaneously.
Or even expression moments and cutting them up with scalpels and all that shit.
But we, curiously, have the unmitigated gall to say, I think, which makes it look like I choose. And if you get the slightest hint of just how full whatever this is, including the inner world that we don't even have words for. I mean, I could walk around this room and name everything and you would kind of know what I was referring to. But inwardly, as in right now, there is a realm of subtlety that is so beyond measure, and guess what? I don't have a single word for it except to suggest a realm of subtlety.
This song is Get Ready Because Here I Come. It's like this idea that something's coming, or that you're coming, you're on your way.
Yeah, it has a certain kind of movement to it.
That's a great beat.
Like a hired Zen DJ somewhere.
See that wire right there?
Yeah, it's
like... Pay no attention to the white wire.
Yeah. Cue, get ready, go.
So, I have a poorly formed thought, let's call it.
I'm with you.
From about, let's say, 5 minutes ago, when somebody brought up, I think it was a man, the idea of knowing that a different experience had happened at a different time.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Used to be better.
Okay. So, but I think that the knowledge does not necessarily have to be something that appeared in the past. It is something that they have. They have intrinsically that knowledge. That knowledge of...
That's a present force.
Yeah, it's an actual knowledge of who she is or we are. That's teasing.
Yeah. This is a tease.
When you told me about the steering thing, from then on, so in the past 2 weeks, every time I feel that suffering, that sense of where is the glorious day?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is invented now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It never happened.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
Right.
It's only, let me invent this idea of the glorious day to cause myself suffering about the gray day. It's invented right now.
Yep.
And that is steering. It's like, let me steer the boat back into an invented world that I'm inventing right now. Calendar to go back in time to go capture.
We're looking at the adhesion of identity. You reveal eloquently that whatever frame of reference might be occurring psychiatrically, emotionally, storyboarding, scrapbooking, is being invested in or appearing spontaneously.
You probably told me that. I'm just repeating.
That's fine. Yeah. And what the funny thing is the you could say the speed and or efficacy with which this identifies or adheres to what's emanating. This is emanating for sure. No argument. If I or any one of us as a creature, right, ends up in disappointment, or ends up in suffering, or ends up in fantasy or projection, apprehension, you name it. I mean, the emotions can be fantastic or they can be less than fantastic. That is a symptom of the miraculous and spontaneous presence of the adhesion of identity. I mean, like, this is happening, but is it? And is it happening to you?
Does it always involve your identity?
Well, we're using...
Can you yearn for a better day without an identity with Jeff?
No. You cannot yearn without an identity. Or yearning can occur, but if it tickles you, if it twists you, then that's a symptom of the adhesion of identity.
What if you notice it happening within this? Like, look at this. There's suffering happening to Jeff.
So those would be, those segues would be clearly, whatever that suggests, a symptom or a taste that the adhesion of identity is starting to crack.
Starting to crack?
Yeah. Yeah. The adhesive is slipping. The adhesive slipping.
Can it exist without there being any adhesion?
Yes, it only exists.
An awareness of it, I mean.
It only exists without there being an adhesion, because adhesion is virtual. Adhesion is virtual. It's not actually so. And yet when we respond to, oh my goodness, as self, that's a symptom of adhesion, identification.
Can desire for the glorious day occur or be observed without any adhesion or identity?
Sure. Yes. But you could say that, sure it can. Yeah, but it, yeah, of course, but it can't last, but it can't last long enough. Right.
Meaning it can't hold on to suffer.
Right. I mean, here's this. It's not entangling you. It's not accusing you of anything. So any story that you tell is a symptom of the miraculous adhesion of identity, which makes it look like this is a durability. As if you can actually tell a story about something that happened a moment before now, or even tell a story about what's happening right now, and you can't actually tell a story about what's happening right now. You can only tell a story about what's not happening.
And therein lies the difficulty and the expression that I was trying to get with dualism and identity. Just fucks it up.
It will. Mm-hmm.
Well, poetry might be a little different in one sense. The words are being spoken and something is evoked in presence and experienced in presence, not necessarily pointed to in the future or the past.
Nice.
And it's like, well, where'd that come from? How did I respond so lively to that?
Are you saying if you were writing poetry? Or
No. What I was imagining just now was someone reciting it and me being so incredibly receptive to presence that it comes, whatever it is, it can't be spoken, actually comes alive, even though something is spoken. But the spoken is not about, well, let me tell you
it's
about how my life is and where we should be going and the analysis of the trajectory of this and that and the other thing for the rocket to get where you want it to go. That's very different than...
Psychology, social stuff.
There's
bits, I think, of pieces of truth and
guru-type
people.
Guru-type people.
And one of the things that's just coming to my mind right now, which, you know, is suspect already, is that we can be as entrapped by good thoughts as you can by bad ones. So, situations can occur where, you know, we're very Pollyanna about things and are, you know, happy. If we don't really want to go into the negative place, and we just go into the sort of happy place and make up a happy story about something that may or may not be occurring. Well, that's really not occurring, but it's occurring or whatever. And then, you know, and then all of a sudden at some point that situation changes. You know what I'm saying? And then it flips into the negative. Or, I guess what I'm trying to say is that most of the time when people want to avoid dealing with any kind of negative, we run from the negative and jump into the positive to walk in sometimes. But that's as much of a trap as in the positive.
All apparition appearing as in presently, ghosts. All ghost. This is a ghost. What it actually is not ghost. What you think it is ghost. So the adhesion of identity is, you could say, necessary for subjectivity to be identified with. Without the adhesion, then you can't even insist on subjectivity. And that's long before positive or negative emotivity even hits the screen.
Can I ask you a question? Do you have an impulse about why any of us invent ourselves out of just observation and just digging what's going on?
I'm not sure I'm picking up the distinction, or that there's that there could possibly be a why.
I have an opinion on that.
Well, let's hear it.
Yeah. If I'm understanding you correctly, and it's just you know, imagination.
Just your opinion.
Just imagination.
Just imagination.
So the self with capital S is present in everything at all times. And then, so this little self, the small s, is just sort of taking the stage in a subjective way. You know, it's bullshit. It's the big self trying to get to know itself in the only way that it can, which is or playing, and it can't not play because it does what it does. I think the little self, and this is just my bullshit, you know, just sort of misconstrues the whole thing. You know?
That would be good, also exploring and playing with itself.
It has to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, everything is bound to be a misconstruence.
Yeah.
But even that's just a story made up about where we're inventing a self, to do a big self. That's all made up.
That's a given.
But we could agree that there is only the unicity.
I don't know.
No?
I don't even know what that is.
That everything that appears is of the same essence.
As soon as you have particularization, you know, you have the subjective nature of that particularization, you know? So, you know, I can't take the subjective nature of one of you.
She's a Christian. She needs something to be
true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Nice. All I can think lately is that with the suffering thing, is like, okay, I just want to feel this virtual suffering of bullshit. I don't know why, but I'm... Or maybe not even that. I'm just, that's what it is. Happy.
For a number of decades, let's say, right? We're enamored of the sorrow and joy that appears in life as objects. And we commit somehow to a destination which has less suffering.
Yeah.
I do that. But, well, it can mess with your head.
Some people do. Wait, we commit to the idea of sorrow and joy.
You pick up a copy of Creating Community magazine, and what you'll see are ad after ad after ad, which is a dumbfuck primate hoping to suffer less. It only marginally works, if at all.
Well, certainly. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I'm sitting here. Not that you have an ad. That I know of.
He did once.
Did you? Nice. Every, I might have designed it.
Every month.
Did you?
There's one every month.
Oh, well,
not from you.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Do you enter it on the website?
I place an ad in Creating Community every month.
I thought you only did that once.
Every issue.
It doesn't cost much. It's pretty reasonable.
I thought you only did that once.
No, it's ongoing.
We haven't gotten anybody clearly that has responded from that. But, you know.
Why would I?
Is it the same?
And the sky is gray. Come on, that is had to be part of this. All the leaves are brown and the sky is gray. Come on.
Proof. Proof, I say.
California.
They're miserable. Listen, no, I'm kidding.
Yeah. You can get a fairly clear sense of just how puppy-like your consciousness is, how playful and associative one's consciousness is. Because we love delight, we love novelty, we are that. And even gray days and suffering is like, wow, something to feel.
Yeah.
So this adhesion, which elicits or suggests identity, has us drunk in a good way.
We're drinking it.
With the delight of ourselves. It also, as you might have noticed, seems to be accompanied by a fair share of suffering, psychological time, apprehension, anxiety, right? Greed, preference, existential panic, angst, insecurity. Because the mirage of self is being confronted nonstop by this disappearing experience actually being ungraspable. That's the, you know, I mean, underneath all of the symptoms of disquietude, you could say it's that this is actually ungraspable, but we attempt to grasp it through, right, egoic enterprise. And that egoic enterprise always fails because this is ungraspable.
Yes. You helped me realize that even the idea of Eric suffering, that's part of the full spontaneous package. I used to think, oh, well, I'm having a spontaneous virtual experience of suffering. No. All at once. Look how terrible Eric feels about mourning over the past or thinking about 5 years from now, and like all of that bullshit, 5 years, calendars, and Eric Menudo is all part of the bullshit package. Just
there's no
vomiting
there's
all
no
over.
There's no ultimate subject at the top of the food chain that can opine on whatever Eric thinks is happening to him.
Yeah.
Right? So when you look at the insistence that you may have to occupy or find someone, namely oneself, at the top of the food chain, and then you can't find yourself at the top of the food chain actually, you can only attempt to place yourself there virtually, you're miserable.
There's no subjective stability.
None.
So...
Right.
If you can find...
All the way.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
If you can see that...
Don't you think, though, that also the universe is true, that you are, in fact, the top of the chain?
Well, again, you know, like...
The pointy teeth.
Yeah, but what's you? I mean, how can you even say what you...
I can't... I don't think
so. Right.
Nothing is true. So all I can do as... maddeningly or cleverly as possible is to continue to unwind the impulse that this is true.
Are you saying that when you're suffering, you're pushing, you're trying to push this story of you on top of the food chain?
Well, the reason that suffering is accompanying the miracle of you is because virtually you are attempting to place yourself at the top of the food chain as a durable subject.
Yeah.
Or durable object.
But not as durable subject. In fact, there is a fact. This is the fact.
Okay, yeah.
And this is what we have.
But fact is stored.
Again, but... well, sure.
As soon as it's a fact, it's stored somewhere.
Choose a word.
No, I mean, that's a pretty good word.
Choose any word.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to be...
Oh, I'm not being defensive.
Okay, yeah.
She's just excitable as I am.
I know. I love it. It's great. It's like,
wait.
Factory.
Just excitable.
Durable. Oh.
Yeah, durable object.
So yeah.
Subject or object. I get the durable subject.
Yeah. Well, let's suggest that experiencing is of the nature of phenomena. Phenomena. Light and sound and body and mind and feeling. Wow. That entire spectrum of phenomena, just for fun, none of this is true, you could say is the realm of objects. Because it appears that events and circumstances and feelings and stimuli and response to stimuli and more stimuli as response to stimuli goes on unabated.
Is there any difference between subject and object, actually? Or is that just part of what... I mean, object and subject is kind of the same bullshit. I'm sorry, I just don't have a question.
What, bullshit?
Yeah.
So instead of saying thing, you say bullshit.
Hi. We're playing around for fun with, let's say, a gradient approach. Right? Because to play it all at once... just becomes gibberish, right? It becomes a sling fest of ideas.
Sure.
Right, so slowing it down can be helpful.
Yeah. Okay.
So all that's arising as experience is phenomena. And a synonym that I'll use for fun means objects. Yeah. All phenomena is of the nature of objects. Experiencing is the nature of objects darting, right? Consciousness darts and we say the body has five senses, and then there's this thing called mind, which is a virtual
supercomputer.
A virtual dream field, a virtual supercomputer of association that attempts to make sense of the remarkable scintillating nature of phenomena and into, you know, into an organization chart. Yeah, all of that, let's just say, is objects. The observable universe, the Big Bang, Stephen Hawking's wheelchair, all objects, right?
Yeah.
Now, so keeping it slow, we'll just say, oh my God, if it's being experienced, and if it's appearing through stimulus, whether mind or subtle or gross, it's an object.
What's a subject?
That's where we're going next. Right, so everyone, we need a bus transfer. I'll collect all the bus transfers. Now we're going to get on the subject bus. Yeah, I'm not saying this is true. Again, we're slowing it down just to harness attention. So all of this phenomena, which is objects, how do you know that it's occurring? Where did the irrefutability that you are an experiencer right now come from?
Ground of being.
We can use... Right! A plus, get out! You get out.
You're going to get kicked out quick. That crap.
So what I'm suggesting is there's not an object as disparate from a subject, sure. But on the bus, we included everything imaginable as objects.
Yeah.
Whew, that was cool. Now, to whom or to what?
Right.
Is the nature of the irrefutability that experiencing is present right now, is that an object?
Yeah.
And the suggestion is that it might not be. Again, I'm not saying insisting what's true.
Say fact.
Yeah, not a fact.
Well, what of course is totally fascinating is it's the first realm.
Say again?
It's the first realm.
Which is?
Which is that which underlies subjectivity.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the whatever.
Well, yeah, you're dancing ahead, you're jumping buses.
I know.
Ryan is the whole Aristotle
person. I like the gradient.
He's really
it's very easy for us to wrap our heads around it.
Okay. Run down the log
of what's a movement of some kind. So no matter what's said, it seems like, oh, well, then we should, blah, blah, blah. I think I've got it. Or, oh, now I understand. And that's part of that seductive tease of self. There it is. There I am. And even that's okay. But the appearance of it is, as you explain anything, I'm explaining something that you tend to fall into. And just notice that you can't fall out of or into anything like this. But even that's full. No matter what I say, it still goes back to a self. It's kind of like, oh, I think I just grabbed something.
You place yourself at the top of the food chain.
Yes.
Trying to demystify a mystery when you're better off leaving it as a mystery. Yeah. But that's fine, right? I mean, this is associative. It has adhesion. Adhesion is of the nature of identity. Identity flows through the system as mind. Mind is comparative and conclusory. So it can't help but to place itself in the picture at the top of the food chain and therefore acquire this. When your actual experience is non-acquirable. And placing yourself at the top of the food chain only results in more confusion and more misery and more disappointment. And so the game plan is to see if it's possible to peer into the geometry so that one sees how one is placing oneself at the top of the food chain insisting upon graspability when there is none. And then, in that process, become texturally comfortable, not agreeably comfortable, but texturally comfortable with the fact that this is not graspable.
How do you get married within the framework of...
You say, I do.
Then you buy yourself a little ring.
I do what?
That's what I do. A little infinity ring.
If someone asks you a question about some kind of loyalty that you're planning on having with your partner, you just say, I do. What's not possible? Genocide and marriage. Death and taxes. Bruce Springsteen and Alfred E. Newman. This doesn't refuse anything.
How can you have loyalty in this?
As you can anything and everything else. Even having an interest in a certain kind of absolutism.
Like an idea that you can't do something.
Only true in fairy tales.
It's just the bobblehead.
It's only true in fairy tales.
It's monkeys.
They have a lot of good songs.
Absolutely. So, after you have some kind of appreciation, whether imposed upon you or voluntary, that all phenomena is of the nature of objects, it's possible that you can turn your query, your attention, to that experiencing occurs is stranger than there being a bunch of objects.
Which can get pretty boring pretty quickly.
Yep. So your attention now, which was inebriated with objects and complaint, matures, it's a fair word, so that one becomes cognizant of the presence of your subjective nature. I am that I am. Or whatever one-liner pleases you. And you can't mess with objects if it were not for your subjective nature.
And there actually is no gradation of energy. Experiences, it lacks value.
It can be said that this doesn't. It could be said that this doesn't actually convey anything.
Yeah.
While it conveys unabated miracle. As you become more acquainted with your subjective nature and less distracted by the confluence of objects, your interest and attention starts to enjoy your own presence as subjectivity. You could say that looks perhaps a little introverted, because you're fascinated by presence now, not by what's appearing in it.
Just the fact of it.
Well,
thank
it
you.
Could still be what's appearing in it, but not necessarily so much as in relation to a person with a life and a framework of how it looks and what I should be doing.
Right.
And what.
Yeah, there's nothing to deny. There's nothing to celebrate. You become conscious of is.
So you're saying, like, if your boots were made for walking, you'd be walking.
If your boots were made for walking, you'd be wise to walk in them.
Okay.
Yeah. Or sell them and get some moccasins if you wanted moccasins made for lounging about.
Okay.
These moccasins were made for lounging about. Yeah. Now, once you become admiring of your subjective nature, you're kind of fucked.
You fuck when?
Like pretty early on, actually.
Yeah. Once you become cognizant of your
subjective,
what nature?
Subjective nature.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be cognizant of that?
Fucked is good.
It's sort of like bullshit.
Yeah, bullshit. It's bullshit in a good way.
Yeah, it can go either way.
Yeah, you are bullshit in a good way. And this matures. This interest in subjectivity matures. It's multi-dimensional as are objects, obviously, right? Objects are multi-dimensional. We found minerals and periodic table and atoms and protons, electrons and neutrons, and right. So obviously, what appears as phenomenality has no bottom. It's infinite in its apparitional prowess. Even finding the Higgs boson did not end anything. They keep accelerating particles until they've destroyed the entire known universe.
Probably.
Right? They'll just somehow slip into some kind of anti-neutrino, and in the entirety of phenomenality will just blink out of existence.
Whoops.
And someone will go, we should have canceled that experiment.
Yeah.
We're working on the same thing.
Yeah.
We just don't use the same scientific tools.
Even a word I know. To be a stickler about words, even when you say mature.
Yeah. But you have. When you were 2.
No.
And you were 7. And you were this.
I see what you mean. I don't know if that's true at all.
It's only. It's just a poetic lie.
The closest I can get to that poetry is that there is a vibration or there is an experience, and that what you would call maturity is a different vibration in the same space with the same non-volume.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is very different than like climbing up the mountain, which is just all bullshit and sorrow.
Your consciousness, not that it's yours, is nuanced, and you travel through the wormhole of nuance. Something yesterday appeared to you as a problem, as a suffering, as an irritability, as a push against, as a resistance. And 10 minutes later, you couldn't even find any trace of it.
Mm. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah. So this is nuanced. And since it has no bottom, since it has no bottom or doesn't actually convey anything, all it is nuance.
And the wild thing being that, like, suffering for 5 seconds is like, oh, man, that was bad, but now I'm real good. Suffering for, like, so let's say 9 hours. Let's say we spent the whole day 9 hours suffering.
Yeah,
that story is actually, in its explosive spontaneity, is inventing a new story of, wow, I've been suffering for 4 hours now. This is compounded.
Yeah.
There's no compounding.
No.
It's just a different object, I guess.
Yes.
Well, like, oh, what's the object now? It's a 4-hour pound of shit. It's a 4 hours worth of shit.
Yeah, and you look, and while the 4 hours is occurring, you can't experience it as 4 hours.
No, it's always experienced spontaneously.
That's right. And
with
so,
a different weight.
Yeah, and so even the recollection of it is conjured presently.
Can you take care of it all?
Where's the check?
It's conjured presently. Even in the midst of a suffering bender, you can see that there's discontinuity.
You can see the discontinuity in what?
In the midst of a suffering bender.
Sure, yeah.
There's bender, discontinuity.
Bender,
yeah.
So this will still love you tomorrow.
All the yogas are both natural expressions of and pointers or portals back to the recognition of one's subjective nature, the isness behind or prior to the appearance and dancing nature of objects. But objects and subjects are not different.
Yeah.
It's just a degree of nuance. Because your experience is fully featured, profoundly textural. It's malleable, mutagenic.
And you, film, it's not the preview.
Right. And you begin to feel yourself as that mutagenic variability of nuance, which is fascination.
So, is your sense of self then an object perceived by your subjective nature, or is that what you mean, like, you say your subjective nature is your sense of self?
It can go either way. It's not. It's never one true thing to the exclusion of another, because it's too odd. Yeah. So.
Because you're like, I enjoy my subjective nature. I'm like, I don't enjoy my sense of self.
Yes, that's right. Well, what is it that you're not enjoying?
I don't know. You're just not enjoying.
Well, who's enjoying?
Hang on.
I'm saying that's the experience that's there. I'm not trying to get all.
Yeah. Right.
No,
so is the lack of enjoyment spontaneously present as a kind of identification, or is it in response to things noticed, things felt?
I guess it's a response too.
Yes. Right. Okay. I mean, it's nice to see the difference, because if I'm not enjoying my present experience, is it just a spontaneous origination that I'm not enjoying my present experience, or is that a response to elements in your present experience?
Seems to be a response.
Right.
Being filtered in some way through.
Right. And so we're playing with, to whom are the elements that are suggesting the response occurring? That's right. Exactly right. I don't know.
And one of the other buses that you've helped me with is the steering component. Is before you try, sometimes it's difficult to get right back into like, boom, ta-da. Before ta-da, sometimes noticing that the steering is occurring, which is complaining about or annoyed by things, is inventing the discontent.
Sure, you can look at the genesis of your what you call your present experience in a million ways. Because it's too strange. It's not one thing as contrasted with everything else that it could possibly be. That's how good the dreaming is. The dreaming can be on a bus, a speedboat, have a steering wheel or not, conjure with aplomb, insist on suffering benders or the absence of them, shift into subjective wonder, shift back into an egregious identification.
Pleasantness, though, or presence seems to be, when I feel, my dad yesterday said my cat wasn't eating it and she might die today. Even though that was a terrible...
Good timing. We have a replacement for you.
She's beautiful.
Anyway. it fascinates me in the presence of mortality that I feel such an immense sense of presence. So although I felt extremely woeful, it made me feel completely present. It was not wrought with stubborn, steering suffering.
Yeah, yeah. It's sweet,
that is
isn't
very
it?
Very different.
Grief rocks.
I'm just, yeah, it does. And it rocks you into this symbiosis of, wow, this, my cat and Eric is feeling these feelings from his cat. But there seems to be this consciousness that is present, that is beyond both of them. Digging both of them, which creates that feeling.
Yeah, well, it may or may not be creative, but that
you
can sense, the presence of your experience as being some kind of underlayment of all the objects. You're a subfloor.
Subfloor.
or including all of them, not sub anything.
Yes.
It's this bounteous, whoa, that's wild.
Yes.
And it's not sneering and suffering and right. fighting and alligator wrestling.
You could say, yes, you could say that the recognition of one's subjectivity is punctuated by absolute inclusivity.
Yeah.
Yeah.